Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, Balimara surrenders his life, and we begin reading text number 18. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King Parikshit, Lord Brahma then began to speak to the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the hearing of Prahlad Maharaj, who stood nearby with folded hands. Text 19, but Bali Maharaj's chaste wife, afraid and aggrieved at seeing her husband arrested, immediately offered obeisances to Lord Vamanadeva, Upendra. She folded her hands and spoke as follows. Purport, although Lord Brahma was speaking, he had to stop for a while because Bali Maharaj's wife, Vindhyavali, who was very agitated and afraid, wanted to say something. Anyone want to find out what she said? Shri Vindhyavalir Uvacha Kritartam Atmano Idam Trigarat Kritam Te Swayam Tutatra Kuhadiyo Paraisha Koryu. Kartu Prabhos Tavakim Asita Avahanti Tyaktva Rihyastad Avaropi Kriti Vadaha. Shri Vindhyavali Uvacha. Vindhyavali, the wife of Bali Maharaj, said, Krida Artam, for the sake of pastimes, Atmanaha, of yourself, Idam, this, Tri Jagat, the three worlds, this universe, Kritam, was created, Te, by you, Swayam, proprietorship, to, but, tatra, thereon. Kudiyo, foolish rascals, apara, or apare, others, isha, O my Lord, koryu, have established, Kartu, for the Supreme Creator. Prabhu, for the Supreme Maintainer. Tava, for your good self. Kim, what? Asyataha, for the Supreme Annihilator. Avahanti, they can offer. Tyaktva Ridya, Tyaktva Ridyaha, shameless without intelligence, taught by you, avaropita, falsely imposed because of a poor fund of knowledge, kartu, katri, vadaha, the proprietorship of such foolish agnostics. Boy, that class went quick. It's 9:20 now. At least according to this clock. Maybe that was from last year. Shamati Vrinda Day translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shamati Vrindavali said, My Lord, O my Lord, you have created the entire universe for the enjoyment of your personal pastimes. But foolish, unintelligent men have claimed proprietorship for material enjoyment. Certainly they are shameless agnostics, falsely claiming proprietorship. They think they can give charity and enjoy. In such a condition, what good can they do for you, or the independent creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this universe? doesn't look like Vrindavali is speaking kind words to her husband. Purport. Bali Maharaj's wife, who was most intelligent, supported the arrest of her husband. You never know. And accused him of having no intelligence, because he had claimed proprietorship of the property of the Lord. Such a claim is a sign of demoniac life. Although the demigods, who are officials, appointed by the Lord for management, are attached to materialistic enjoyment, they never claim to be the proprietors of the universe. For they know that the actual proprietor of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the qualification of the demigods. But the demons, instead of accepting the exclusive proprietorship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, claim the property of the universe for themselves through demarcations of nationalism. This part is mine and that part is yours, they say. This part I can give in charity and this part I can keep for my enjoyment. These are all demoniac conceptions. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 16:13. Idam adya maya labdham imam prapsye manoritam. Thus far, I have acquired so much money and land. Now I have to add more and more. In this way, I shall be the greatest proprietor of everything. Who can compare with me? These are all demoniac conceptions. Bali Maharaj's wife accused Bali Maharaj by saying that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead arrested him, showing him extraordinary mercy, and although Bali Maharaj was offering his body to the Supreme Lord for the Lord's third step, he was still in the darkness of ignorance. Actually, the body did not belong to him, but because of his long-standing demoniac mentality, he could not understand this. He thought that since he had been defamed for his inability to fulfill his promise of charity, and since the body belonged to him, he would free himself from defamation by offering his body. Actually, however, the body does not belong to anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whom the body is given. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara sarva-bhutanam ridyeshe arjana tishtati brahmayan sambhutani yantrudani maya. The Lord is situated in the core of everyone's heart, and according to the material desires of the living entity, the Lord offers a particular type of machine, the body, through the agency of the material energy. The body actually does not belong to the living entity. It belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Under the circumstances, how could Bali Maharaj claim that the body belonged to him? This Vindhyavali, Bali Maharaj's intelligent wife, prayed that her husband be released. Let's find out how that logic is. First she accuses him of stealing from Krishna, then she says maybe he should be released. But that sounds more natural. First you take the person you're trying to please, you support that you want to get something from. First you support them. You flatter them. And then you ask for what you're actually interested in. By the Lord's causeless mercy. Otherwise, Bali Maharaj was nothing but a shameless demon, specifically described as Taksva Kriyas Tatwad Avaropita Kartri Vadaha, a foolish person claiming proprietorship over the property of the Supreme Person. Present age, Kali Yuga, the number of such shameless men or agnostics disbelieving in the existence of God has increased. Trying to defy the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so-called scientists, philosophers, and politicians manufacture plans and schemes for the destruction of the world. Sounds familiar? Prabhupada doesn't say, well, actually they're nice demons, they're not so... they give in charity. They cannot do anything good for the world. And unfortunately, because of Kali Yuga, they have plunged the affairs of the world into mismanagement. Thus, there is a great need for the Krishna consciousness movement for the benefit of innocent people who are being carried away by the propaganda of such demons. If the present status quo is allowed to continue, people will certainly suffer more and more under the leadership of these demoniac atheists. Agnostics. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manite. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. The people who are bewildered by ignorance think themselves to be the doer of activities which are actually carried out by the modes of nature. Prakrite kriyamana ni gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma. Bewildered by the false ego, ahankara vimudatma. They become the most foolish. So we can be intelligent or we can be foolish depending upon what we're thinking at the moment. We may go from the most foolish to the most intelligent back to the most foolish in the matter of seconds. When we misidentify ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies, then we're in the level of the foolish. And when we identify ourselves as the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, then we become intelligent. It's just a question of what we, how foolish and how intelligent we develop our consciousness. Now, nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvanvaira mukta sukaduka sangar gachant yamuda padam avyam tat. So, nirmana, without this sense of pride. So, this sense of pride is due to illusion. As Prabhupada writes, we come here for a few moments and we think we're the Lord of everything. And then we go away, and we don't take anything with us. So this is called nirmana, being without false prestige due to nirmana moha, due to illusion. So it's very difficult for us to remain floating in the air as a soul. We have to have some sort of identity. And therefore, in the Krishna consciousness movement, we have identities like Madhajis, Prabhus, Brahmacharis, Brahmacharinis, Grihasthas. We have to identify ourselves with something. That the body, we can't look in the mirror and say, what is this thing anyhow? Because we have to think, I have this identity and therefore I'm supposed to do this. In the Supreme Court in America, well, there's a hearing in the Senate to see who the next Supreme Court justice in America will be. So they have one black lady, they're interviewing her. And they ask her a question, can you define what a woman is? And she said, I can't do that. She said, that's up to the biologist to figure it out. So people become so bewildered, their intelligence has become so, that even the Supreme Court judge, prospective Supreme Court judge, who has gone to supposedly the best schools in America, can't define what a woman is. So, we have to at least be able to be on that level of intelligence. if we're a woman or a man, say we're a man, as I said before, and he did an interview at one university, and he asked the students there, and he said, actually, I think I'm a 6'10" Chinese woman. Can you accept that? And they go, yes, of course. If you feel like that, then that's what you are, whatever you feel like. I guess it's called gender fluidity. You just think of it. Like they had one swimmer, huge guy, like 6'5",